After these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham. And he said, Here I am. He said, Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. And Isaac said to his father, Abraham, my father. And he said, Here I am, my son. He said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Abraham said, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering, my son. So they went, both of them, together. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Promises are made every day. Sometimes they're small, like, I promise I'll take out the trash, or I promise that I'll fill gas in the car when I'm done using it. Some promises are a little larger. I promise that I'll repay that $5,000 loan you gave me, or I promise that someday I will marry you. But we're humans. And that means that some of these promises are kept. But some of these promises are broken. And broken promises lead to broken relationships, broken hearts, and broken faith. But that's the risk that you take when you put your faith in the reliability of sinful people. But when God makes a promise, that promise is certain. Because God isn't sinful like we are. And God did make a promise. He made a promise to Abraham that he would be the father of a great nation. And God gave him an assurance of that promise as well. He gave him a son, Isaac. But in tonight's Old Testament reading, we see that that promise was in jeopardy. Because as a test, God commanded Abraham to go up onto a mountain and to sacrifice his son. But Abraham had faith. Abraham believed in God's promise. And because he believed, he knew that God will provide for himself the lamb. But if you take a look at Genesis 22 and what God asks of Abraham, you can't help but stop. Think, what is God really asking? The first thing is, God is asking Abraham to make a human sacrifice. Now, this seems bizarre and out there, even for us who don't work with sacrifices, but we know that God explicitly forbade human sacrifices. But yet, here he is, telling Abraham to sacrifice his son. This isn't an error in the Bible, don't worry. This isn't one of those things which people will point to say Scripture isn't true. No, God makes the rules. God's allowed to break the rules, but he doesn't do so willy-nilly. When God breaks one of his rules, he does it for a reason. He does it out of his grace, and he does it for us. God has commanded a human sacrifice. God has broken one of his rules for our benefit, to point us, to point Abraham, and to even point Isaac ahead to the lamb which he will provide on the mountain. Additionally, God commands Abraham, take your son, your only son, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering. But you've read Genesis. You know how the preceding chapters go. Isaac isn't Abraham's only son, is he? Well, no. But that's because when Abraham got God's promise that he would be the father of great nations, Abraham didn't necessarily like God's time frame. He preferred it to be on Abraham's time frame. So he went and fathered a son with his wife's servant, Hagar. But this son, Ishmael, he's not the son of promise. He's not the heir by whom Abraham becomes a father of a great nation. No, God promised Abraham a son with his wife, Sarah. As far as this promise is concerned, Isaac is the only son of Abraham, because he's the one who was not sent away with his mother, but received the blessing of the firstborn. And yet Abraham is commanded to go sacrifice his son, his only son whom he loves, on a mountain. But Abraham remained faithful. Abraham was being tested, and his faith held, because he went up to that mountain, taking along with him a donkey and some servants and his son, collected the wood and the fire, and he told the servants, "You stay here with the donkey. I and the boy will go over there and worship and come again to you." Abraham believed that both he and Isaac would return to the servants waiting for them. So he left the servants and the donkey and went up the mountain with his son. But why would you leave the donkey? You're climbing a mountain, you're carrying a bundle of wood and fire, and you have two people. A donkey would just make your life easier. But they leave the donkey. They don't place the burden on that beast of burden, but rather on his son. Isaac carries the wood up the mountain. Yes, Abraham had his son, his only son, whom he loves, carry the wood that he was to be sacrificed on up the mountain. And once he carried that wood up the mountain, he was bound, alive, mind you, and placed upon the wood to be offered as a sacrifice and a burnt offering. But if you compare this to every other Old Testament sacrifice, the sacrifice is killed before being placed on the altar. It's slaughtered, drained of its blood, that's to say, drained of its life, and then placed upon the altar to be burned. But Isaac was bound alive, placed on the wood before his father even took up the knife to sacrifice him. Fortunately for Abraham, he was stopped. This story has a happy ending. As he's about to sacrifice his son as God commanded him, an angel of the Lord calls out to him, stops him, and tells him not to do it. Indeed, at this point, the Lord did provide the lamb for the burnt offering, as there was a ram caught in the thicket that they used and sacrificed in place of Isaac. And because of that, Isaac survived. Isaac had children. His children had children. His children had children, generation after generation after generation, on and on and on, until the other promise, the one promised from even before, of the lineage of Abraham, who would undergo a similar trial, a similar binding, and a similar sacrifice. But even then, God provided the lamb. You see, as you read the New Testament, you see that once again, God broke his rules, specifically his rule regarding human sacrifice. Just as God sent Abraham to sacrifice Isaac, God too sent his son to be born of a woman. He came into this world as a man to save men from their sinful nature. And in breaking his rules, God once again showed his grace and his love for us. Think about it. The most famous verse of the Bible. It so encapsulates everything that it was the standalone verse in our gospel reading. For in this way, God loved the world, that he sent his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. In this breaking of the rules, in this sacrifice of the God-man Jesus Christ, we see the highest expression of God's grace, mercy, and love for his creation. Also like Isaac, Jesus was God's Son, his only Son, in whom he was well pleased. This helps to clarify the fact that God wasn't forgetting or mistaken when he said that Isaac was Abraham's only son. But rather, in calling Isaac Abraham's only son, God was pointing us ahead to God's only son. God was preparing and foreshadowing for Abraham, for Isaac, and for each and every one of us of the greater sacrifice to come. Both Isaac and Jesus were the only sons of their respective fathers, and both were offered up as a sacrifice on behalf of all people. Isaac serving as an example, Jesus the sacrifice. And Jesus too went up on the mountain to be sacrificed, not on Mount Moriah. That mountain was taken. It was now called Mount Zion, and it's where the temple stood. But rather, Jesus was sent out onto Mount Calvary, a little hill just outside of the city. Whereas Mount Moriah became the mountain of sacrifices, where the Jewish people would go day after day, month after month, year after year, to make sacrifices to atone for their sins and attempt to pay back God. Mount Calvary was the mountain of executions. It's where convicted and condemned criminals were exiled from the city, removed from the general population, and sent to be put to death to pay for the crimes they committed against society. But what they didn't know at the time was Mount Calvary, or it's also known Golgotha, wasn't just the mountain of execution. No, it was the mountain of sacrifice, the mountain where all men were atoned for by God, or before God. And like Isaac, Jesus had no donkey to carry the wood that he was to be sacrificed on. No, Christ, after being mocked and beaten and tortured by the guards and the chief priests, was then forced to carry the wood of the cross through Jerusalem out to Calvary. And he carried it and carried it and carried it until he could carry it no more. It was only by the faithful service of another that Jesus got a slight reprieve on that day. But even then, it was Jesus who was bound, alive, and placed upon the wood of the cross to be a sacrifice. And this time, there was no angel of the Lord calling out. There was no one to stop what was happening. There was no ram caught in a thicket to take his place. Just Jesus, hanging on the cross, bleeding, suffering, dying. And it was there that the Lord provided for himself the Lamb. But just as Abraham believed that God would provide for himself a lamb on Mount Moriah, we believe that God did provide a lamb, the Lamb, the one who fulfilled God's promise that he made to us. A ram was provided for Abraham on Mount Moriah. The Lamb was provided for all men on Mount Calvary. It was there that the blood of the Lamb was shed to pay for the sins of all men. For without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. What was thought at the time to be an execution of a blasphemer ended up being a sacrifice far greater than any sacrifice made in the temple. The sacrifices in the temple had to be repeated constantly, over and over and over. New sins committed, new animals sacrificed. But the sacrifice on Calvary could not be repeated, because it was there that Jesus Christ, the very Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, shed his blood as the final sacrifice by which all men were reconciled to God. And because of Mount Calvary, Mount Zion is opened up. The curtain is torn in two, and God is available to all people. He's available because we have been reconciled. Reconciled to God through Christ. That is our return. That is the promise which he made all the way back in the garden, where by sin, all people were exiled from paradise, exiled from God's presence. But that exile came with a promise that we would return. There was the promise that the seed of the woman would crush the serpent's head. There was the promise to Abraham that by his name, all nations of the world would be made great. And there was the promise that all who believe in Jesus should not perish, but will have eternal life. We know that God's promises are true, and we know that God has kept this promise because he has given us a sign. The sign where he provided the lamb for the sacrifice. In the name of Jesus, amen. May the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.